Welcome to Talks at Advent, homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia. Today's speaker is Stephen Brannan.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God is one. Amen. In today's gospel passage, this parable of the sower who sowed good seed in his field, but then it was revealed when they started to bear fruit that there were weeds among them, we see another example of what I call the uncomfortable binaries of the gospel, parables in which Jesus compares two things, two diametrically opposed things that end up having very different outcomes and fates depending on what they are. We've seen other binaries like this, the example of the good tree and the bad tree, where a good tree only bears good fruit and a bad tree only bears bad fruit, and we see what happens to the one and to the other. The good tree remains to bear fruit, the bad tree is cut down and thrown into a fire. And here in this parable we have tares or weeds and good wheat, and we see at the end of the parable that the wheat is left in the field, but the weeds are cut and gathered first, bound together, and thrown into a fire. Now, with the good tree binary, the good tree, bad tree binary, that is in Matthew 17, verses 17 through 19. So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. But, as we've noted before, these uncomfortable binaries are an example of a vision from the end times. The binaries are something that they ring of finality. But here in the present, as we are people who grow and learn and change, it turns out that we're actually very complicated trees, and that we aren't set from birth as good trees or bad trees, as some Christian heretical ideas would try to tell us. In fact, we can change if we're not producing good fruit. Listen to another parable from Luke 13, 7 through 9. And he said to his vineyard keeper, "Behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground?" But the vineyard keeper said, "Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down." So we see a bad tree, apparently, who doesn't deserve to be left up. But the vineyard keeper says, why don't we try digging around it, putting some fertilizer down, tending it a little bit, caring for it, and let's see if that helps it to produce fruit. So the good trees and the bad trees, that uncomfortable binary, is a little more complex than sometimes we like to think. We have to look at the Gospels as a whole. We have to look at everything that Jesus teaches us and hold it all together at the same time. And likewise, I think in this parable, we see not only just wheat and tares, wheat and weeds, we have, again, complicated wheat. St. Augustine, in commenting on this passage, says, he's talking to his congregation, he says, "Let the good among you be patient with the wicked. Let those who do evil change their ways and become as the good." He says, "Correct your ways before the time of harvest. I say this to the wicked, who likewise are Christians. I say this to the tares, to the weeds. For they are yet standing in the field, and it may be that they who today are tares may become good wheat." St. John Chrysostom likewise says something similar, commenting on this parable. Speaking of the tares, he says, "The punishment will surely overtake them if they are incurably diseased." That is, if they end up not changing into wheat. He also says, "Of the very tares, the weeds, it is likely that many may change and become wheat. If therefore you root them up beforehand, you injure that which is to become wheat, slaying some in whom there is yet room for change and improvement. That was his comment on why the master didn't let his servants go out and reap the weeds altogether at once. He says, don't do it yet in case you injure some of the wheat. And that's not only talking about the wheat that's there presently, but the weeds that may turn into wheat. St. John Chrysostom also says, what then if the tares should remain until the end? Okay, so now we have the question, if they don't turn into wheat, what happens to them then? Then I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. He again reminds them of John's words, introducing him as judge. And he saith, so long as they stand by the wheat, we must spare them, for it is possible for them even to become wheat. But when they have departed, having profited nothing, then of the necessity the inexorable punishment will overtake them. Those are the words of St. John Chrysostom. So we see that this binary only seems to be final at the end of things, at harvest time, whenever that is. And we don't know when that is. There's no use in speculating about that. There's no speculation within the Orthodox Church about when the end times are. The only sure thing is to say it might be the next moment. That's all we can say about that. So we don't have to guess about the interpretation of this parable, because just a few verses over in the same chapter, Jesus actually explains this. I'm going to read his explanation of the parable of this sower, the weeds and the wheat. And when he left the crowds and went into the house, his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parables of the weeds of the field. And he answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. He who has ears, let him hear. What I notice about the judgment, this description of the harvest time and the end of days, is that the tares, the weeds, do seem to be people, but he doesn't limit what's thrown into the fire as just the people. He says, the Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers. It seems that the lawbreakers don't come first, but rather the causes of sin come first. And we also hear in the parable, when it's discovered that there are weeds among the wheat, and the servants ask, how can this be? The master says, an enemy has done this. Well, the devil doesn't turn us into bad people. The devil doesn't plant bad people in the world. The enemy of God plants causes for sin. He plants stumbling blocks all throughout the world. And primarily, it's these causes of sin that will be thrown into the fire. Christ is clear that it's causes of sin and lawbreakers, those who, unrepentant, to the end, persevere in their sins. But I find the notion that it's all of the causes of sin that will be destroyed really comfortable. It doesn't seem like there can be any proper judgment unless everything in the world, everything in the entire cosmos, in all of creation that has been distorted by evil, by those intent on rebelling against God, are destroyed. This is a holistic fire. In Hebrews chapter 12, 26 through 29, it says that at this time his voice shook the earth, but now, as he promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Likewise, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish. Again, recalling the parable of the field, not wanting to cut down any wheat. Not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. From these passages, a picture is painted for me of not a vindictive, judgmental harvest time, but a purging of all badness for the sake of the good. It's for the sake of the wheat that the weeds are pulled out. It's no vindictive judgment against the wheat, or the weeds, rather. It's for the sake of the goodness of the wheat. The wrath of God and the judgment of God gets a bad rap in our day and age, in our culture, because we don't understand what judgment is there for. Judgment is there for the sake of the innocent. It's to cleanse, to purge the goodness of the world from the badness. In a time where good and bad are very fluid, relative concepts, the ultimate good and bad that will be revealed at the end of the age is something that is really difficult for us to get a handle on, to comprehend. There's so much complexity in this world, including us as people. It was Schultz and Nielsen, I think, who said, it's not like there are good and bad people in the world, but the line between good and bad runs through the heart of every one of us. Every one of us are complicated trees. We're complicated wheat. Some days weeds, some days wheat. Sometimes we change from minute to minute. That's how I am anyway. It's not for us to be judges or to try to weed out the weeds among us right now. It's for us to be patient, as St. Peter said, to bear with the weeds among us, praying that we ourselves will be proved to be wheat. And the way that we do this, of course, is all the things that we know we ought to be practicing. Daily prayer, service, acts of charity for our neighbors, repentance. We're quickly approaching the season of Lent in which we really intentionally get to try to practice this so that for the rest of the year, it's not quite as difficult for us. It's a time of purging ourselves of any weeds. So again, the judgment isn't something to fear. It's something to look forward to. If we're the kind of people who look forward to light, who look forward to purging badness from goodness. So I pray that as we leave today, we consider ourselves to be what we are, complex and complicated, with a mind to be less complicated and more fully on the side of the wheat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Talks at Advent. Homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia.